Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is up, KOP Nation? It is Thursday night. It's October 16th, 2025. We are a little under 48 hours away from AEW Wrestle Dream, the third Wrestle Dream pay-per-view AEW's put on. But this one's happening from St. Louis instead of the Pacific Northwest. I'm Tanner Lee. Along with me is Austin Shepherd and our reigning, finally defending KOP Predictions champion, Paul Zartman.
Finally defending. This is the first pay-per-view since I won it. What are you talking about?
Well, it's because you haven't held the belt in 87 years, so it's a first defense. So, I mean, yeah, finally.
Oh, wow. Wow. I would have put it up at Title Tuesday, but nobody would have taken me up on that, so I just didn't even mention it.
Hey, like, there's barely any titles on Title Tuesday.
More important than actually Paul holding this belt, do you ever notice in the opener when LaGreca's talking that he has a freaking cold sore on his bottom lip?
I've never noticed that.
Just saying. I thought it was weird. I saw it last week, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's definitely there. Noticed it today.
Oh, great. Great. I mean,
you know. Did he get it from, did he get, out. Did he get it from Thunder Rosa? Tell Thunder Rosa.
Well, Dave's never doing any more videos for us, so... One while it lasted.
How do you get canceled on a podcast within 2 minutes of it starting? This is how.
Leave it to Shep.
I've said a lot worse.
Hey, Shep's got some Darby Allin vibes going on tonight with the pink hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pinkish.
Pinkish. Is that foreshadowing?
It's salmon.
Is that foreshadowing?
Salmon. Salmon's a good color.
Look, as soon as that match was announced, we knew where Shep was going with his pick on that one. He's been picking anybody other than Jon Moxley for a year now.
That's true.
Yes. In fact, it's funny. I was listening to on my way to work this morning. It was still AEW After Dark with Dreamer last night. And Dreamer took a call. And I know, as pro wrestling fans, everybody's got to be open-minded, right? Everybody's, their mind works 100 different ways. But this guy told Dreamer that he can't wait until Mox gets absolutely destroyed because this is the final run for the Death Riders because we all know Mox is going somewhere else.
Idiot.
And, oh, God. And he said that, and Dreamer, like, I give Dreamer credit. Dreamer just like, you know, I don't see that happening, but hey, everybody's got their own. Like, Dreamer was so
Tommy. Tommy's good at that stuff. He's good at
it. Where I feel like if it was Bully Ray,
oh, God,
Greca, Nemeth would be like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yep.
But Tommy was just like, well, you know, everybody's got their own opinions and da da da. I'm just like, I'm in the car trying to get a cup of coffee going. I'm already screaming at the freaking radio like it was Paul Zartman comparing Mercedes Monet to Britney Spears last week.
Hey, thanks for that, Paul. That got some good reactions on our socials. So thank you. Some good engagement, some good views.
That's what I'm here for.
Is it because I was screaming?
I was on the I was on the Turnbuckle Tavern's debate show last night, and both guys brought it up on the debate, how much they loved Shep's reaction to the video.
Oh, I don't get fired up too much, but when I do,
that was.
Let's see if I can do it again tonight.
You know, when I watched it back, I'm like, how did his wife not yell at him? How did his boys not hear that? Because that was cranked up. I loved it. That was great. That was an all-time KOP moment. Like, in the 5 years we've done this, that was up there top five.
I think in the middle of that, I remember I was sitting down and I ended up standing up for the next 20 minutes.
Yep.
And the part about throwing Paul in the pier just took it to the next level. Off the pier.
The guy who got thrown off the pier, I hear he's MIA and still not been found. So
there you go.
I think they need to.
The Manitou monster got him.
There he is.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe he went looking for the shoe that he lost that day and got it eaten.
Yeah. Before we get into the card, are you guys more excited after last night's Dynamite / Collision for the show? Less excited or the same level of excitement as you were going in the last night?
The first 2 hours I was excited, and I feel like the last hour let me down.
Yeah, it kind of was meh. Yeah.
Now, I know why they had to do, you know, shove the 3 hours into one night. But I felt like the last hour just did nothing for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. Yeah. Nothing at all.
I agree. But I thought the show started off hot, though, with Tony and Stat, and then the Darby Mox thing was cool.
The Tony and Stat was great with Renee. Renee actually losing her cool, ripping her coat off, and then all of a sudden they were done, and they're like, okay, ready to go to the ring? And they just hop up, they go to the ring, beat the shit out of each other.
Yep.
Very well done by those two ladies. By three ladies, because I think Renee played right into the
play. Yeah, yeah, she's awesome.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
She's been with the company now 3 years as of this week, so she's been a good asset. You know,
what's crazy is when she left or her contract came up in WWE, Tanner, neither one of us thought she was coming to join Mox. We figured she'd stay at home, start that family that they had talked about, and then all of a sudden she shows up backstage and both of us were genuinely excited for it.
Yeah, she was doing the Sessions podcast at the time. That was going well for her. So I thought she'd – Oral Sessions, I think it was called. So I thought she'd keep doing that, but she obviously missed it. And she gets to be close to her husband this way.
Well, that too. And I think the way – I'm sure Tony has negotiated it with her. They travel as a family. They can do things as a family. It's a family thing where – let's say in the other company, you're on the road 300 days out of the year and you just see the family when you can.
Yep.
So it's a little bit different of a gig than she's used to. So I think it works out better for her.
I will say, though, WWE is a lot lighter schedule than it used to be now that they're not doing house shows. So
they're pretty much know what I see. They did one house show in Australia.
And they're going to do some in the holiday season like they always do. But besides that, they've kind of got away from it. Which is good for them. I mean,
well, that too. And if I remember the last time a house show came to Fort Wayne, Indiana, it was still stupid ticket prices. And I'm guessing tickets didn't go that well for a house show. And being at a house show, the last house show I went to was in Fort Wayne. And it was just, it just hit differently.
It does.
The performers hit different. Not one single chop through like 12 matches.
Nope.
No.
You know.
No pyro.
No pyro. No. No suicide dives on the outside. You know, it's just different.
Yep. It's just different.
A little bit more comedy interaction with the superstars, which is neat, but not what you see on a weekly basis.
No.
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 And
no.
Still charging almost the same prices.
Yep.
That you see on the TV show. So.
All right. You know what? Tanner would pay the price every single time they came to Fort Wayne just because Tanner's a mark.
No, or it's because it's right down the road from Tanner, and I feel like I'd have to pay the price.
Even before you moved, you were willing to spend the price on the tickets to go up there just in hopes you might see Cody because his face was on the poster.
Well, tickets were not near the price 3 years ago as they are now. So
yeah. I don't know. I think 3 years ago I did sit – the dream seat, as I call it. I was on the aisle and front row in the corner, and I want to still say that was pretty damn salty.
Oh, but I bet it's even saltier now.
I wouldn't want to see what it is now.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the prices for Cena's last match. My God.
So. Yeah.
Yep.
The Mania prices for Vegas. Whew.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I felt like it was that way last year. It was that way last year for the Rumble.
I paid more than I wanted to.
I mean, the seat I wanted to go to the Rumble that I was going to, compromise with. Like, I'm okay sitting here, not my first choice, but I'm okay. Was $1,100.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That was face value.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And I'm
yeah.
just like, you know what? I'm super glad yep. I didn't do it.
Yep. All right, enough talk about that. Let's dive into our WrestleDream picks. We got 8 main card matches that we're going to choose from. If anybody's tuning in for the first time, what we do, we pick our winner, put confident points on them. So for this one, from point 1 to point 8, point 8 being the match you're most confident in, point 1 being least, and so on. So, Paul, you're the champ. What match you want to pick first?
Boo. Let's go one of them.
Boo.
You done now?
Boo.
Tanner, get your water bottle. Let's go with one of the 3 matches that I've struggled with for the last week and a half. Let's start it off with some tag team action. Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks in a $500,000 tag match.
$500,000.
Yeah, we got 2 AEW original teams. Now the Luchasaurus and Jungle Jack Perry are back together. And you got the Young Bucks, who I was reading today in an article. They said they feel like they have their passion back for the first time in a while. For the business, so
it's because they got Cutler back on the camera.
Yeah,
yes, they've got BTE back. That's all that matters.
All right, Paul, who you got there, big dog?
Oh, you want me to go first?
I mean, you're the champion. Let's rock and roll.
All right. Well, like I said, I've gone back and forth on this. I'll tell you, I ended with 3 confidence points. Of the 3 matches I struggled with the most, this is the one I'm most confident in, and I'm going with the freshly reunited Jurassic Express. I think, don't get me wrong, the storyline with the Bucks right now, that if you're back to following BTE, is really the main thing of, you know, we need money. We're seeing that on television as well from time to time. But I think this will even further that storyline of them struggling because they just lost $500,000.
Yeah, good reasoning. Are we going around the horn?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, go for it.
I am also going Jurassic Express. I am going with them for 4 points. So Paul and I are pretty close there. Yeah, I think if they're going to build these guys up to be potential contenders and challengers for the AEW World Tag Team Championships, you can't have them lose their first match back together. So, and I think the story, you know, the Bucks are getting maybe closer to a babyface turn, but they got to struggle a little bit more first. And, you know, I want to see what chaos ensues between Matt and Nick, knowing they could have won 500K and now they're in the hole again.
Yep.
So that what you just said at first, when I first did this about noon today, I had the Bucks picked. Okay. And the reason was, is because I'm thinking, oh God, I want the Bucks to win 500K. The next town they're in, I want one of them to lose it at the casino, get made Nick. Fun of again. Yeah.
Nick,
a Cutler to, you know, our Cutler to send them a bill for back pay. You know, I wanted that. And then I'm just like, you know, that would be good, quick comedy. But in the long storyline, if the Bucks don't win this 500K, they still get the shitty intro. They still get the shitty entrance, shitty mic work. Then you have, obviously, the reigniting of Jurassic Express with Jack Perry and Dino Douche.
You ever going to stop calling him that?
No. I mean, doesn't the guy have like an MDA or a doctorate in some bioscience or whatever?
He's got a PhD in like history or something. That,
yeah,
like what do you do with that?
Yeah,
like, the dude is smarter than the 3 of us put together. All right,
well. I'm not disagreeing, but I don't know. Ever since Cornette called him that 5 years ago, it just stuck with me. But anyways, Fresher United, I'm going with Jurassic Express for 4 points as well.
So we're all pretty safe there. So yeah,
all right.
All right.
Well, Tanner, since you gave your pick on that second, let's hear what match you want to do next.
Yeah, let's do one of the 2 women's matches on the main card. I'm pumped that we're getting 2 women's matches. This match probably would have happened a while ago if it wasn't for Jamie Hayter's injury. And that's Jamie Hayter versus Tekla. And win my graphic. And I got Jamie Hayter for 6 confident points on this one.
I agree with you on this. I think Hayter has been kind of long overdue. She's had some big wins, but then I think she gets shoved to the side right off the bat. So putting her back on PLE here. I like her as well. I have her for 7 confidence points.
Wow. So, Tanner, when we were talking while we were waiting on Shep, I told you there was probably 4 matches I was pretty confident in. This being the 4th one, I went Jamie Hayter for 5.
5 confident points. So we are all in agreement with our winners so far. And I think it doesn't matter like who wins this match out of these two ladies, because the story is going to keep evolving. These two ladies are going to be involved in the Women's Blood and Guts match next month on November 12th. And they haven't announced. Yeah. I laughed last night. Did you guys pick that up? Like the Excalibur's like, well, Jamie Hayter's still waiting what is it? What are the name of Triangle of Madness? Is that their name? Or what's their?
Yeah, Triangle of Madness.
Yeah. She's still waiting for them to accept the Blood and Guts match. And then right after that, the graphic comes up for Blood and Guts November 12th, and he starts promoting Blood and Guts. It's like,
yeah.
But Tony today on the media call, he was asked, he pretty much confirmed there's going to be a Women's Blood and Guts, right? But then he was asked if there's also going to be a men's, and he wouldn't comment on it. So that tells me we're getting 2 Blood and Guts matches in the same night, which would be awesome.
That would pretty much take up the whole 2
hours. It would. Yeah.
Yeah. But that'd be a nice way to give some of your talent the night off. You know, you could throw some video packages together to start the show or, you know, in between the matches. But, yeah, I'd be all for it.
Yep.
All right, boys, you ready for the next one?
Yep.
Yep, last but definitely least. Shep, go ahead.
Let's do it. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. World Heavyweight Championship. Hangman Adam Page versus Samoa Joe.
Yeah, this is going to be a hard-hitting match.
It is.
Strong style should be what you should expect in this match. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a back-and-forth, toe-to-toe dogfight. But it's just not time yet. So I got Hangman Adam Page for 8.
Ooh, 8.
Damn it. How am I supposed to be the champion and pick on Shep when I agreed with every single thing he said, down to winner and confidence points? But I've seen some talk that Joe might be stepping away from the ring for a little bit. So this makes sense to have Hangman retain here.
Now, you saying that because of movies or personal?
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. That's why
I don't know. I saw a couple things because I was looking up some different stuff, getting other people's insights on the matches and everything, trying to actually do some homework and look knowledgeable for a change as the champion here. And it said, well, with the possibility of Joe stepping away from the ring, it makes no sense to put the title on him. And I went,
well, the one thing he has mentioned is in the near future, possible retirement. And he hasn't said like 2026, maybe 2027, but he hadn't put a date on it. But it's probably coming here in the next couple of years. So maybe that's what they're hinting at. I mean, he is a trios champion. So if he's going to step away from the ring, they got to get those straps off of him and the ops, and they didn't do it last night. So, right. And I love how Hook's just out of the group now.
Yeah.
Without really any reason.
Yeah.
He's too cool for school.
I did like Eddie teaching Hook how to cut a promo last night. You could tell Hook had no idea that Eddie was even going to ask him to speak.
That was pretty good.
What's the event called? Tailgate. When's it happening? Saturday. And then Eddie's like, you're damn right, Saturday. Like, it's like,
It beats Hook standing back there with a hood up. eating out a bag of chips and everybody's going ape shit crazy over the man.
Yep. Well, I'm agreeing with you guys. I think Hangman successfully defends the title, but I'm going for 7 confident points. Yeah, I'm pretty confident in who I think is going to be the next AEW World Heavyweight Champion, and I don't think it's Joe.
Do you think that possible person shows up at WrestleDream?
I think it's definitely possible, but I hope they wait and do it on the Dynamite following.
Okay. Okay.
Because I don't see a scenario where he's not back by full gear, with full gear being in New Jersey.
Right. Right. All right.
Are you talking about somebody that's better than you, Tanner?
Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
He likes his scarves.
He likes his diamond, better than Tanner, rings. So, you know.
In your own little world.
And you know it.
Oh, boy. I do know it.
Oh, boy.
Shep knows it, too. So, don't worry, Tanner.
I guess when you have that thing across your shoulder, your head can't fit through the door seal.
That's very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freaking JD McDonough type head over there.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, remember, Tanner's the one who bought this thing, designed it, and made it as big as it is. I went with a very simplistic design when I made my title.
That company doesn't make any other sizes.
Tanner's like, we're going big. We're going bold. I'm going to be the first one to hold this thing. Yeah.
Is it sad that if Paul had a British accent, he'd remind me of Rockstar Spud?
Not at all.
And I have a terrible British accent, so I'm not even going to attempt it.
Well, and you know, since we're talking about titles and lineages and all that, WrestleDream is kind of my pay-per-view. I'm 2-0 at WrestleDream, and I won it at 23 WrestleDream and held it clear to full gear last year. Now, since then, I've sucked. I've only won it once. Since then, I've sucked.
Yeah, but wasn't it WrestleDream last year where me and you and – was it me, you, and JPJ had a perfect card?
I don't think that was a WrestleDream. There was twice I had champion's advantage last year.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because remember, Tanner's the one who came up with champion's advantage. Hey,
Shep's used it to his advantage this year too. So
I'd be willing to say, you know what? Hey, let's do something like I did with JPJ. Yeah, it cost me, but look, that's a real champion. I could have said,
I'm good at WWE picks, guys. I'm real good at WWE picks. And then the goddamn, our belt got next to tuna in the damn fridge in Massachusetts.
Because I listened to your dumbass on 2 of the picks.
Who's the dumbass for listening?
The fucking tuna fridge.
I tried to be a cohesive unit like JPJ and Pluggo.
Yeah, that worked out real well for them in the end, didn't it? Yeah. Because hey, when push came to shove, tornado tag, we beat the living shit out of them.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but those two worked
together. And we didn't even need a guest enforcer either.
No. Those two worked together on their WWE picks, whereas Shep, you wouldn't even acknowledge them. You did a quick thing, rundown real quick, and I wanted to get verification from everybody before I went one-on-one with JPJ, and Shep's nowhere to be found.
I didn't think it was a freaking tag team. Last time I checked,
it was KOP versus B2B.
Last time I checked, when you win something, I don't cash a check at the winner's gate. They Shep cashes checks.
I like that. That should be your tagline, Batman DeLo. I like that.
Uh-huh.
All right, Paul. Next match.
All right, let's divide here.
Let me guess. You're going to pick John Cena versus Gunther. How many points you got on that?
Going Super Cena, because you literally can't see him if you play any video games, which I know you don't know what video games are, Shep, because you're old.
Video games. One of the best chants in AEW history. MJ right. 2019.
Yes. Let's divide the podcast here, because I know this is what's going to happen. Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe for the TNT Championship.
This is a tough one.
It is.
The fifth time. These guys are tied 2-2. So this is a rubber match.
This is another one of those that it was about 5:30 today when I finally stopped bouncing back and forth. but I went one on my confidence points on this, and it ties into another pick that I have later on, so I get to explain it fully. But I went with Mark Briscoe. I just feel it's time.
You got chicken. All right.
He gonna make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
I went back and forth on this one. Even in a predictions video I did on our YouTube channel, where I went through about a month ago now, a few weeks ago, and I predicted who I thought was going to be the next champion of every belt. I picked Mark Briscoe to be the next TNT champion before I even knew this match was at WrestleDream. But I'm picking the protostar Kyle Fletcher for three. I just don't think they're going to give him that shorter reign. I think once you pull this belt off of him, you better put him right in the world title mix. And I just don't think they want to do that right now. Even though he had a hell of a match at All Out against Hangman, I just think that he holds the TNT championship a little longer. So Kyle for three.
I went back and forth on this one as well. And I'm going to tell you, my confidence points is three.
And so I'm least confident in this match. Yay!
And at first, I had Mark Briscoe. But I switched back to Fletcher, and here's why. I think Heyman obviously is going to retain, and he's going to need somebody to compete against. And I think Fletcher could be that guy down the road. But I think it's 60, 90 days down the road before we do that. So in the meantime, if you take that belt off of Fletcher, there's nothing for him to do until Hangman's done with MJF or somebody, even another blow-off match with Joe. So I think Fletcher's going to be the next big pay-per-view maybe match against him, but just not right now. And so I had Briscoe circled, actually, and I put a big old X through it. And I went with Fletcher for 3 points.
Yeah. That could decide it. I don't know. We'll see.
But y'all's called me crazy when I said that Moxley was winning that casket match.
And you had Briscoe for big points over MJF.
MJF, yeah.
So, and maybe it makes sense to follow up that huge win for him over MJF with a title win.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's pick one I went back and forth with quite a bit, and that's a tag team match. The Hurt Syndicate versus The Demand. Trios action. Where the hell's the match? There it is. I went back and forth on this because, you know, we've seen The Demand win. We've seen The Syndicate win the street fight. Down Daly's place. I thought it might be the end of the feud. I enjoyed it, even though there were some botches.
I enjoyed it. It was just horrible.
Who shows up to a street fight in shirt and ties?
I thought that was a nice touch. It's their character. But I got The Demand for two confident points.
No, boy.
Ooh.
And the reason is I think maybe a loss here could start some friction between the Hurt Syndicate a little bit.
Okay.
And I think that a loss doesn't hurt them as bad as it hurts The Demand.
Well, first of all, the only person that it hurts out of That Demand would be Ricochet. Right. Because the other two guys could go back to ROH and nobody could give a shit.
They're growing on some people I've seen out there.
Yeah, okay. So is Brian Cage. Oh, wait, no, he's not. He's hurt.
He's hurt.
It's the best place for him. Fucking rehab with nurses.
Oh my god.
Tanner, you're clicking E right off the bat, right? Because I think you've all dropped things we normally don't drop in this episode.
I have not even close to Tanner on this one. I mean, we've been pretty close on everything until now. Good. I got Hurt Syndicate for six.
Good.
All right. See, now the question is, do I agree with Tanner or do I agree with Shep? And
Neither one of us is gonna claim you, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Because I don't need you. I'm above both of you.
Oh boy,
I'm better than both of you.
My God, this has huge.
I like Majin's comment there because that's what I'm waiting for as well. I've gone Hurt Syndicate for 4. Now, here's why. One of the members of Gates of Agony has a name similar to a bunch of other names that I'm getting tired of hearing in the other company. But there was a Samoan recently released from another company. You could bring him in time to ROH and get some real Samoan stuff going again, other than bloodline Samoan stuff that people are tired of seeing. So I think we
Does anybody watch ROH?
It's not on TV.
Who cares? A lot of people watch ROH, just not us three.
This is fair.
The numbers are good for the subscriptions for ROH.
For Honor Club? Are they really?
Sure. I don't know.
Then why'd you say they're good?
Because you're not supposed to fact check me. You're supposed to agree with me.
You're supposed to know all.
No, I'm not the wise man. Okay?
I didn't know you're Hillary fucking Clinton.
Don't check the emails. All right, fine. You know what? I'm going to put this title down.
56% of all Paul statistics are made up.
Numbers are good. Are they? I don't know. That was good. That was a good bit.
You know what? One drink is not enough to deal with Paul on a Thursday. I think I need something stronger.
Majin says he's pulling a TNA, putting out fake numbers to try and make the things look better.
Hey, I don't know. I think
this is the best math, okay?
TNA right now, I think, is really rocking the effects of Connecticut right now.
Sure, they are.
I think they are doing the best they have ever done. And I'm not saying they're riding the coattails of NXT and Shawn Michaels, but it really, really helps them, and they just put on a really good show last Sunday night in Bound for Glory.
Oh, they're still not what TNA was from like 07, 06 through like 09 before Hogan and Bischoff got there. I mean, that roster was loaded, but they just didn't have the backing like this. I get what you're saying.
Correct.
I get what you're saying.
But now if they want to put on a show and put on a little extra production and need the help, they have
where
they didn't in the past.
Right, because, their roster at one time, I would have put it up against WWE's roster at one time. It was that loaded. They just didn't have the resources.
And they had the guys that they were the AEW before AEW, because they had the guys that were kicking ass on the independents, kicking ass in Japan, that wasn't getting brought into WWE because of the good old boys. And I'm talking guys like Samoa Joe. I'm talking guys like AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels.
Mm-hmm. Abyss.
You know, and it's because of the good old boy program.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really just – they just ran with what they had. And now you have guys like – that's if you guys look at the guys that started AEW, the Bucks. You got Hangman. You got Kenny Omega. I know Kenny Omega was in NXT for – you know, a cup of coffee, but guys that work their ass off in Japan and on the indies, and then they got their time. So, yeah.
And look, the Bucks were in WWE for a brief stint. So,
didn't they do a couple dark matches or jobber matches?
Yeah, Matt got chokeslammed by Big Show in a jobber match.
Stat was in a jobber match as well. So, but all right. So,
Raven, Mercy Machine Gun, Sanjay Jett. Jay Lethal, Beer Money.
Sunday Joe is the douchebag. Anyways, that's all right.
So, last reported number was around 15,000 subscribers when Tony Khan bought ROH.
I bet it's down.
No public data has been released since then.
Because he doesn't want to, because it'll hurt the stock prices.
It's not a public company.
It hurts Tony's stock prices.
There you go. All right. Who's up? Shep's up.
Next match. Yeah, sure. Tanner, you picked the Hurt Syndicate match, right?
Hey, Tanner, did you hear about Raven? I have not heard about Raven. I knew he's got a documentary.
He's got a
documentary
coming out.
It looks really good, but other than that, I have not heard about Raven.
Although it's Raven, he could go off the hinges at any point in time, and we would not be shocked, but it might be interesting news.
Agreed, Majin. Agreed. That whole Andrade situation is so messed up right now.
It's not the WWE. It's TKO.
That's a new
TKO contract that was not in place before TKO bought 452 billion shares from Vince Kennedy McMahon.
Who?
You know who I'm talking about.
That was warranted there. No. We'll allow it. Shep, next match.
All right, next match. Quit getting off the.
We are all over the rails.
Paul, I would never do that.
Baby.
I would never go down a rabbit hole.
Never.
Never. All right, let's keep it with the tag teams. Let's go World Tag Team Championship match. Brodito versus Okada and Takeshita of the Don Callis family.
The new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes.
Yes. Which I'm still pissed off about that they did it this early and not Wrestle Kingdom, because that fucked my whole big prediction up.
But he could still go in there with the championship. I think that
counts.
I think, yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying. That's all I care about. Wrestle Kingdom. You know me. Speaking of that,
Raven's got Parkinson's. That's terrible. I did not hear
that. Oh, I'm sorry. I knew that. I knew that.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I was laughing at the comment above that, by the way, Tanner.
Yeah, I saw it.
I hope so. I didn't look. Let me guess. Who is it?
It's Majin.
Oh. Hey. If you notice, Nick's not a very big dude, boys. Anyways. Just saying. He is a little feller.
Tag team action.
And I'm staying. I think he's going to be on a roll, and I think it's time to move Brodito on. So I'm going to title change. Maybe the only I'm not like maybe throwing my prediction out early, but maybe the only title change on the show. Okada Takeshita beat Brodito, but are still not on the same page. But I have him for 2 points.
Okay. Shep, can I stop agreeing with you at some point, please?
I mean it.
2 points, Don Callis family, because somebody in the Don Callis family has to have gold after Fletcher loses to Mark Briscoe.
Man, I thought about that too when I X'd out Briscoe. I thought about that as well.
But
I'm going to get 0 points. I'm thinking like Paul.
I'm the champion, jackass. Bitch.
That's fitting for the Okada match.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
But Bandito's injured. It may not be a permanent, you know, long time out of the ring, but the dude needs to take a few weeks, months off, whatever. It's why he lost the ROH title, I'm sure. But I think we see the Don Callis family pick up the win here. But I also think we're going to see Okada slowly turn on the Don Callis family.
You mean Takeshita?
No. Okada.
Okay.
Why would Okada want to leave?
Why would he want to stay there?
Well,
he's the main guy.
Yeah, does he? Does.
Yeah, but look at it this way. All right. Takeshita is getting pushed more by Don than Okada is. Kyle Fletcher's getting pushed more than Okada is. Wardlow, in the 30 seconds he was on TV, not injured, got pushed more than Okada was.
Is he still alive?
We won't be seeing them for a long time.
That's mean. I shouldn't have said that.
Okada was brought in for a very specific reason, and that was to further eliminate Kenny Omega. He's done that. He's got the unified title. So why does he need to stick around with Don Callis? You got a guy who was doing fine on his own, came to AEW, did fine on his own,
got with the Bucks,
kind of got mixed up in everything. We're seeing Okada kind of get mixed up in everything again. Eventually, the dude's going to say, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm going on my own. And he's going to look at Don Callis and he's going to go, bitch, walk out. That's why he hit the wrong button on Don's birthday.
I'm shocked we all three agreed with the winner of this match. I thought I was the crazy one for going with the title change. I'm going with the Callis family for one confidence point. I like when groups are having tension and then they win the tag titles, but that doesn't help the tension. And then that ultimately is why they lose the titles. And I think that's what's going to happen with these two. And I think this could be your Wrestle Kingdom title match, Okada and Takeshita. So Okada, and, title is still significant with Okada. He's still known as maybe the greatest IWGP champ of all time. That belt. So I think there's something there. And I had Fletcher winning earlier in my predictions. I think we start seeing the Callis family stack wins and stack titles. Take them serious.
Well, and here's the thing.
How many points you put on that, Tanner?
One. Yeah.
All right. We said we don't want Fletcher to drop, I picked Mark Briscoe.
Right.
But you guys said you don't want to see Fletcher drop the TNT championship until it's time to put him in the World Heavyweight Championship picture.
Yeah.
But we've got this ever-looming MJF.
Mm-hmm.
You can still have Fletcher go straight after Hangman after losing the TNT championship, but then he's pushed back by the dirty tactics of one known as MJF, like we always see MJF do. He sneaks his way into the title picture, loses against Hangman, and then boom, Fletcher's right there, already the next number one contender.
Or you can have Hangman lose to MJF. Fletcher ultimately breaks out of the Callis family, somehow switches to babyface. Then you got a hot new babyface going after your hottest heel.
Yeah.
In a matchup we've never seen.
Yeah. And you could easily do that with Don Callis causing Fletcher
the belt. Which Majin brought up a good point Wednesday. I don't know if you guys caught that. Every time Don shows a painting of somebody, that's the guy he ultimately turns on.
Yep.
Latest painting we saw was Fletcher.
But we have seen one of Takeshita as well.
It's coming.
And he hasn't turned on him yet.
Yeah, it's coming.
So, I think Fletcher's the first one to go, and then Okada will follow, because Okada doesn't need the shambles of the Don Callis family.
All right. I'm surprised we were 3-for-3 in agreement on the winner there, but there we are.
But that's how those two tie into why I picked those two matches.
So we only have two matches left to predict.
Yeah. And as the champion, I'm going to pass and let both of you decide which match we do first. And I'll give my predictions on these two matches last. That way I cannot be accused of cheating in any way, shape, or form. And it shows that I am a caring champion. And I want to hear what you gentlemen have to say say.
Whoa. Accused of cheating. If we give our picks first, and you could easily change your picks at the third. That was the complete opposite of what you just said.
Nah, I'll share my screen. I mean, I will share my screen. Showing you my picks. I typed everything up on my laptop. I have two screens going. My picks are to the right of me. I can pull it up. I've highlighted the matches we've done in red. It shows there's no cheating. No cheating. Fine, I'll go first. You guys pick the matches. I'll give mine first.
Hey, there we go. Nobody said a word. You're the one getting all hot and bothered over there.
No, you're the one who said I would be cheating if I listened to you guys first. Well, oh, I mean, don't even compare me to him, Majin. God.
Brother.
Hollywood.
Paul throws chair shots like Hogan.
That's true.
I take him better than him.
Fair. Well, he's dead, so.
In his prime. In his prime.
I waited for Chef to have a drink in his mouth. I was hoping.
Yep, it's good. It's good. He's dead. Wow. You inconsiderate son of a bitch. All right.
Can you clip that?
Yeah.
I want to see that on socials.
God, where's the match at? Oh, here. Women's match. Chris Statlander defending against Timeless Toni Storm.
All right, Paul, you picked it. Who you got?
Well, duh. I think we all know who I've got. I might
change it once I hear Tanner's pick.
Oh. I've said this. I think, Tanner, you and I were doing AEW metrics back in the day in his little fantasy stuff, and I was picking this person to be champion.
You were. Oh, yeah. You've been a stat fan since day one. So
yeah, you have.
Statlander for seven.
So. I got Statlander as well. Her first title defense. I love it that it's against Toni again, and it's not stale. And the reason it's not stale is because these two ladies do really, really well with buildup. So I think it's going to be a great match. I think it's going to be a close match. I think you're going to get some false finishes in this, like always. And then you're going to have Statlander holding the belt at the end. I got Statlander for five.
Five? I got Statlander for eight. No way she loses her first defense. It's time for Toni to do something different. I wouldn't have her chase the title for about a year. You guys know I think her and Mina Shirakawa should be the first women's tag team champions to put some prestige on those titles right away. We'll see if that happens or not. There's a lot of good teams you can make a case for. But I'm interested to see what they do with her. And then as for Statlander, I think she holds it until a certain CEO comes around and makes a run. Ultimo Moni.
Hey, I mean, hey, Paul. Earth to Paul. You hear me, Paul? Last time I checked.
I'm ignoring you, but no, yes. No.
Last time I checked, you're nine belts behind, buddy.
Nine. I would pop so hard if she brings Ultimo Dragon out in an entrance one time. I would just love that.
What was Paul McCarthy's crazy wife? Uka Ono or Ono Uka or what was her name?
That was John Lennon.
John Lennon's Yoko wife, Uno. Paul McCarthy. Uka Ono. But didn't she have a song, number nine? Isn't that a famous Beatles? Yeah, look it up. Pretty sure. That's how many belts you're behind her, Paul. So when you get on her level, then you can talk.
Yep. Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono. I was close.
Yoko Ono. Get it right.
But there was a song and it was just number nine. It's one of the Beatles. I took a Beatles class and I remember.
you really paid attention.
And it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, Yoko was Paul McCartney's wife, apparently.
Paul McCartney, John Lennon, John Legend, all the fucking same.
Oh my God. Next. We gotta get away. Next. Gonna go down a rabbit hole for like 18 minutes. Next.
Yoko Ono's better than Mercedes Moné, though.
Oh boy, I think you could, if there's any diehard Beatles fans out there that watch any bit of professional wrestling, they might block you for the same.
I hope they do. He's already getting blocked by Mercedes fans left and right after Britney Spears comment the other day.
No shit. She's going through enough shit right now, Paul. With Kevin Federline, she doesn't need your shit right now, okay?
Who has a win over John Cena?
He does, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right, bad. Look. Stardust is better than Mercedes Moné.
I'm just ignoring them at this
point. All right, we have one match.
He's the champion.
We have
Having a stunt double is better than Mercedes Moné.
We have one match left.
God damn, David Arquette would be a better champion.
And this is
David Arquette is a better champion than Mercedes Moné.
Mercedes.
No. I'm glad you agree with me, Tanner.
She's got 10 belts. Next.
Because she's hyped.
You know what? Hey, Mr. David Arquette, we don't need to cut you in the jugular with a light tube anytime soon. Okay, Paul? I mean, speaking of light tubes and cutting somebody in the jugular, we might see that.
Somebody might die in this match.
Okay, real quick, before we get into this, Tommy Dreamer had a really good point about this match. And he knows it's going to be crazy. He knows shit's going to happen. But he just hopes one thing, and I agree with him because I'm not a big deathmatch guy, but I can watch some of it. But one thing that I draw the lines is he brought up, he's like, the syringes.
Yeah, that was hard. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, let's stay away from the syringes. The light tubes can be used. And I'm going to say this, you're going to look at me weird. They can be used tastefully.
Yes.
But I don't need a light tube smashed in half and jabbed in somebody's forehead.
Pizza cutter.
It's not Nick Gage, so I don't think we'll see a pizza cutter. I'm sure we'll see tacks, ladders, tables, chairs,
gummy bears.
I don't know if we won't see Spike because Cope is nowhere to be found.
But we're going to see fire. We're going to see fire.
You think you're going to see fire?
Darby's all about fire. You kidding me?
Yeah. I think the dude just wants to be set on fire and run around. I think his ultimate goal is to douse himself in gasoline, light himself on fire, and give John Moxley a bear hug.
Darby's going to die.
It's all Majin has. Darby's going to die.
I remember one of the first times I ever subbed for Paul, because when Paul couldn't make the podcast, I know that shocks the audience out there.
I'm too important. I've got other things to do.
And this was 4 years ago. But yeah. I remember telling Tanner, like, watching Darby Allin. I was like, Tanner, I don't know who this Darby Allin guy is. I know we've been seeing him for a couple months, but I'm predicting when he turns 40, he'll be in a wheelchair. And that's I've stayed pretty true to that comment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That being said, I'm going to go first here. That's fine. I don't give a shit if it's my turn or not. Being an I quit match.
It's okay. You can go first since you're going to be last.
That's fine. Being an I quit match, I'm going Darby Allin. Okay? And I know we're going to have run-ins. We're going to have run-ins from the Death Riders. But there's going to be one person involved that nobody expects. And this is going to be how Darby Allin gets John Moxley to say, I quit. And Darby Allin is going to somehow have Renee involved.
Yep.
And you're going to see John Moxley break character and save his wife.
Yep.
Darby Allin for one.
Right on cue, Darby Allin fan. Darby Allin is an effing man.
Yeah, yeah. Darby Allin fan, if he actually would watch Darby Allin matches, he would be scared.
I thought about that, Shep. Like, the one person I could see Mox saying I quit would be for Renee. Because, like, Darby could set Marina on fire. He'd be like, I don't give a shit. Do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but it's just so out of Darby's character, though, to like grab somebody and do that.
But
there's no stop to him. Look what Wednesday was a perfect example, right? There's no stop to him. Nothing could stop him from clawing his way into the ring and taking a Death Rider on the belt or on the title or on the chair or whatever it was.
Flag.
It was a chair.
Flag.
Flag. Okay. Nothing could stop him. Nothing would do it. So he is going to go to No End. And that's the only way to get Mox to break character is to get Renee involved. And we've seen little bits here and there, okay? We've seen little bits here and there with people talking to Renee about John.
Yeah.
Okay? Now it comes full circle on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Paul.
I agree with a lot of that. I don't think John's going to be the one to ultimately say, I quit. I think somebody is going to end up saying it on his behalf, because Mox will be laying in the ring, around the ring, whatever, unable to communicate, whether it be the ref saying, all right, he's done, he can't communicate, I can't let this match continue, or one of the Death Riders or even Renee will come down and say, all right, that's enough, John quits. That's how this will go. John has never said, I quit. Dean Ambrose Moxley has not.
And we've seen Mox tap. He just tapped the Hangman and All In. So if he taps and then says, I quit, it makes him look pretty bad.
Yes.
But if he says, I quit because Darby is getting ready to set Renee on fire.
True.
You know, I'm not saying that's the situation, but he's going to have Renee.
It's the only way Cope got.
He might have a grenade.
Yeah. Something might explode somewhere for all we know.
You can't say anything that would shock us when it comes to.
No.
But I do. I think John will be passed out in his own blood, barely moving, and somebody else will say, that's enough, he quits.
Okay, over under. And we don't have to put bonus points on this, but I think this would be a great bonus point question. Over under of the start of the match, over under first spot of blood.
Oh, Darby.
No. Time. Is it going to be? Is it over under time? Is it going to be
3 minutes?
Three minutes and 32 seconds? Is it going to be 2 minutes? Is it going to be 8 minutes?
I say over three.
Yeah, within the first 3.5 minutes, we're going to have blood. And it'll be from Darby. And it'll probably be self-inflicted.
I think Mox bleeds first.
I could see that too. If he throws Renee off of something, I think that's an ultimate heel move for Darby, because the fans all love Renee. So true. If you attempt to do something like that or successfully do something like that, you're a heel in the fans' eyes immediately.
So you're going Darby. How many points?
Six.
Oh,
all right. Well, I like your logic. Paul, one of the Chads last night on the debate on the Turnbuckle Taverns, said they think that's how Mox is going to lose. They think Yuta will throw in the white towel, and then that's how you get Yuta out of the Death Riders, because then the whole rest of the group's pissed at him.
Yeah. Which
I could see that.
He needs to go. He is the weakest link. Goodbye.
The only way I see Darby saying I quit would be, and I think this guy gets involved, Danielson. The Death Riders hold Danielson like, with fire next to him or something, and Darby says, I quit. That's the only way I could see him saying I quit, but I got Darby for five. I just think he's lost the coffin match. I don't think he loses this one.
Losing the coffin match was the setup, the perfect setup for this match, because it ignited that, no pun intended here, fire in Darby.
Shep, you got a message there from Darby Allin fan.
I see that. I see that.
Okay.
He's just ignoring it.
All right. So quick recap of everybody's picks and points. Sure. I have Jamie Hayter for 6 points, The Demand for 2 points, Callous Family for 1 point, Kyle Fletcher for 3 points, Jurassic Express for 4, Chris Statlander for 8, Hangman for 7, Darby for 5. Paul has Jamie Hayter for... 5. Hurt Syndicate for 4. Don Callis Family for 2. Mark Briscoe for 1. Jurassic Express for 3. Statlander for 7. Hangman for 8. Darby for 6. And Shep has Jamie Hayter for 7. Hurt Syndicate for 6. Don Callis Family for 2. Kyle Fletcher for 3. Jurassic Express for 4. Statlander for 5. Hangman for 8. And Darby Allin for 1.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You ran through that quickly. I know Shep and I are not going to tie. Is if I somehow botch this and pull a Mercedes and botch everything and lose my title.
Paul
can
and
you
I
are two tie.
Paul and I come down to the Fletcher Briscoe match. We're 2 points off there. And then Tanner comes in with the demand, which I'm 4 points off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So there is no going or no tie going to happen regardless.
I don't believe so.
When I mop the floor with you two jackalopes. Oh, wow. Yes, Shep, I stole your word. When I mop the floor with you two jackalopes, I just want Mercedes isn't the best. You don't have to say she's terrible, because I know neither one of you dillweeds will say she's terrible because you refuse to admit it.
There's a lot worse out there than her, yes.
And there's a lot more better out there than her.
Then why don't they have 10 belts?
Because they're not being pushed the way that she is.
Why aren't they getting paid like she is?
Yeah.
Because she demanded it, and people went, look how over Mercedes is. Yeah, let's go ahead and sign her. She can't wrestle.
Last time I checked, if you demand that kind of money and you put that asses in seats, you get paid that kind of money.
Yep.
You know why she puts asses in seats? Because of the bunch of pervs living in their mom's basement staring at her backside while she wrestles.
Oh, jeez.
Like you with Anna Jay.
No. That's Majin. That's Majin. Majin even admitted that he's an Anna Jay fan.
I wasn't judging, Paul. I mean,
she's got cake, but I'm not.
I saw you go talk to Anna Jay at Squared Circle Expo.
I went and talked to Statlander too. I went and talked to Leva Bates as well.
Yeah.
And Mick Foley, and Chris Van Vliet, and a whole bunch of other people.
I know you did.
While you waited in line like a jackalope.
Oh boy,
I got what I wanted.
I got to talk to him to Swerve, and I didn't spend near the kind of money you did.
It's all right. I got my autograph and my picture. All good.
Anyways, back to Paul not understanding women's wrestling. Never mind, I won't say that. Anyways, hey, it was a good show, guys.
Yes, very good.
Good show.
Very good.
Good show.
Like I said, that's like all I want. When I'm still champion.
I hope you don't get a concussion walking out your door because your head not going to fit through the freaking door seals. Okay? I hope you don't get a concussion. We'll put you in the concussion protocol.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what you guys are in, believing Mercedes is better than she is. But anyway, all I want you to do is say she's not the best women's wrestler in the world, like you two talk her up to be.
I know what I'm getting Paul for Christmas.
And you know what? We will have a viral video on KOP social media as I light it on fire.
Wow.
You don't even know what I'm getting you. That's just mean.
The funny thing
it's something Mercedes related, and I will light it on fire.
You realize, Paul, that some of the tell them Hollywood. You realize that some of the best professional wrestlers in the world weren't really good in ring technicians.
Yes.
Yeah.
Steve Austin wasn't a good technician.
Hulk Hogan.
Oh God, no.
Okay, but guess what? They got over because they used their brain and they used their mouth. Okay. And don't take that as a sexual innuendo when I'm talking about Mercedes. She's good on the mic.
You insinuated it, not me.
I just beat you to the punch, big dog.
Yeah, it was coming.
Yeah, it was.
I wasn't going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
I'm just saying, she knows what she's doing. She can hold her own in the ring, and there's a reason she has 10 titles around her waist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there's a reason you have one for another 3 days.
I swear, if he starts telling me Carly, I swear, if he starts saying that smiling Kylie Rae is almost as good as Mercedes, I'm going to lose my shit. Although I do like smiling Kylie, so That's not fair to her.
Didn't she just leave the WWID program again?
Well, she got kind of screwed up. She now she's pregnant, and they released her from her contract.
Oh, that'll do it. That'll do it.
So,
you know,
take a lesson there, boys and girls.
Take a lesson.
Nope, Shep, stop.
That's all I can say.
Speaking of wrap it up, Paul, wrap it up.
Wrap it up, boys.
All right. Anyway.
Come on, Hollywood.
You know,
that's going to do it for this episode of the Kicking Out podcast.
Be sure
to follow us on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to leave us that five-star review wherever it is you listen to your podcast, because we are five-star KOP, which is more stars than Mercedes is ever going to get.
Oh, from Uncle Dave. You and Uncle Dave. Hey. God, I'm going to start calling
you. You done now, Shep?
I'm going to start calling you Uncle Dave. Come on,
please
Dave.
Don't.
Come on, Dave.
Please don't.
Dave Zortman, the podcast.
No. There's so many things wrong with that one photo. I can't even. There's just too much wrong with it. No. No.
Well, I'm buying you that cotton button-up shirt for Christmas. Just the blue shirt.
It'll never get worn. It'll never get worn.
You know what? Good thing we're mature and professional on this fucking show.
You know what I'm hearing here is you guys are actually going to spend your money. You're willing to spend your hard-earned money on me because you respect me so much and you look up to me as your KOP predictions champion. Anyway, moving on. Be sure to head over to kickingoutshop.com. You can get some great merchandise, support a great podcast, and look absolutely fantastic doing so. You can also head over to prowrestlingtees.com, search up Kicking Out Podcast, and you can buy some of the original merchandise that we ever released that is not on sale anywhere else.
Hey, I'm pretty. Hey, did that Canadian ever get his shirt I sent him?
You know, I need to check with him, Scott. He was supposed to let me know, and he hadn't let me know. So,
well, I paid for this shit.
Oh, I saw that it was paid and sent and everything on our end. So, yeah.
Hopefully, he got across the border and didn't get caught up in the trade war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want t-shirts. We want maple syrup. Shit, shit's getting thick up there, baby.
Yeah, Majin, figure that out, would you?
Anyway, be sure to follow each of us on social media.
Crown Royal's leaving Canada. Did you hear that?
I think you've mentioned that on the pod.
Have I? Okay.
Can I just mute him so I can finish wrapping this?
All right. Go ahead, Paul.
Anyway, be sure to follow the amazingly wonderful and obnoxiously talented Austin Shepherd at the Shep 27. Be sure to follow the all-knowing, very knowledgeable Tanner Lee at Tanner Lee 92. He knows more about the dirt sheets than the dirt sheets know about dirt sheets. That's what he does for a living. I love dirt sheets. And be sure to follow your Kicking Out Podcast Predictions Champion for the next 300 and some odd thousand days at Paul Zartman 87. And with that, on behalf of Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next time as we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye, mwah, and good night. Bam!